Welcome to Chapter 37, Mary and Me. I've decided to devote this chapter to Mary Dyson, the person. And in a later chapter, she'll be discussed in a different light, more in terms of her professionalism, her role at Longport, and what her and I were able to do together. But that's the second half of the story. The important first half is who she was. Mary Dyson, as I mentioned in a previous chapter, I met her through the people that we acquired the license rights to in Topox. When I left Topox, Mary and I stayed in touch. Her and Walter came over to the United States on a regular basis, and we got to know each other. And as I said in one of my last chapters, Walter once made a comment at a restaurant that we've given new meaning to the phrase odd couple. That was maybe the biggest understatement anybody's ever made. The thing about Mary Dyson that really got me and got a lot of people is that she was probably the most humble person that you could ever meet. And if you didn't know who she was in the great scheme of things, you would never guess it. Never. I'm going to just start off with her goal. I asked her once, Mary, if you had your druthers, what would you like to do? She said, I would like Kathy, my girlfriend, I would like her and I to form a country and western duet and tour. She was serious. I mean, who would have thunk that? This is what I know about Mary. Into everybody's life, I believe, whether you're paying attention, sometimes you don't realize it, but I believe that there's a person or persons that come along that just change the playing field. She did that for me. She was an individual who brought the best. The brain power, or I like to describe it as gray matter. I never met anybody. And I've met some people with some serious intellectual skills, to put it mildly. But no one in her league. Not even close. All I know is, as I got to know her, we would go places like hospitals, or she was doing speaking engagements in our area, and I would drive her. And whenever we went into a facility, a healthcare facility, it was amazing. The doctors would be showing up out of the woodwork with their copies of Grey's Anatomy, because she was a co-editor of Grey's Anatomy. And for her to autograph these Grey's Anatomy books. I once said to her, "What? I feel like I'm on a Billy Idol tour. What in the world?" Everybody that just, I never knew of anybody that everybody in her world, meaning healthcare, that had ever anything to do with ultrasound, which is pretty much part and parcel to healthcare, knows Mary Dyson. And they all were, you could see the reverence they showed her. I'm talking about big-time docs at Yale, at Harvard, at Johns Hopkins. You know, I mean, and they were just taken by her, just her grace. Well, the reason that her and I hit it off is because we were so different, it was scary. But I contributed to her life. She told me that. I brought fun into it. I actually helped her become more appreciative of alcohol. I introduced her to the dice table. And I generally caused her to come a tad out of her shell. Although her shell was not like most people's shell. I have seen her in a large presentation, a large audience. She was doing a presentation, and somebody in the audience asked her a stupid question. I'm sure you realize, and you've seen every once in a while in those kind of settings, somebody likes to show how smart they are, only to show how stupid they are. And Mary Dyson, and I called this particular thing, her response, as dicing this person, as you would dice potatoes or something. Well, when she was through with him, it was silence. He just sat down, and he wanted to be anywhere in the world but where he was. But one of the fun things we had, I was really into the dice table back then, and whenever I took her to the casino, she would use my money. She would roll. I would bet for her. If she won, she kept it. If she lost, no harm, no foul. She loved that. We were gambling. And I don't remember. Somebody told her, you know, Mary, this is not necessarily the way the rest of the world gambles. Most of the rest of the world use their own money. So losing is not a non-event. One time, we're down in the at the casino, and Walter was with us, and we went out on a boardwalk, and I gave the rolling chair guy $100, and I said, "Can you please babysit these two for an hour?" So as they were heading off into the sunset, I waved to them. But Mary got involved in all this because Walter, a diabetic, had a sore on his leg. This is before I met her and him. And it eventually caused him to lose his leg. And she made it her life's work to develop a technology that could identify the problem earlier so it could be intercepted and corrected sooner rather than later, when oftentimes it was too late. So that's where that was the motivation for her to invent the scanner. She had, when Walter died, a few years after we met, she was devastated. So we kind of took her under our wing. My world was totally different than the world over in England and the world she experienced when she traveled around the world. She came from a very staid environment. She told me once her dad was a miner, and he would sit her on the bar when she was like 3 years old. Her and I have one thing in common. We were both only children. So we had that going for us. But I got a call one day that she had had a cerebral hemorrhage over in England. And Dr. Richardson at the time was part of our program, and he, as I mentioned earlier, was from England. He knew the surgeon at the hospital she was at. So I asked him if he would keep me up to speed on her medical condition, and he did. And she got through it, but Fred Richardson told me that she would probably not be the same. People that have this kind of an event usually are more timid afterwards. So I know Mary Dyson. I've been set in a lot of her lectures and all, and she was many things, but I couldn't see her as timid. She was very passionate about her work, about science. So when I first got to talk to her, I said, well, I'm going to find out for myself, you know, what her mental state is. So I get her on the phone. She's recuperating from the cerebral hemorrhage. And I said, Mary, let me ask you a question. I said, what do you call two sixes at the dice table? She says, Jimmy, boxcars, come on. I said to Fred, she's fine. Anyway, when she finally came back to the United States and had the first presentation, and everybody was a little bit anxious because, you know, this was their first one. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If the word overcompensated was ever used in a more appropriate way, I can't imagine, because when she started, she came out with fire and brimstone and kind of like moved everybody's chair in this facility back about 6 inches. I mean, she was making a statement, and it's just, she changed my life. And she changed the life of my family. Being with her, she's one of those people, when you're with somebody, you just feel like you're in the presence of somebody that's special. She was special. And I want this chapter to just, I hope that I conveyed this connection that we had, because it was, in many ways, certainly from a business standpoint, combining business and personal, it was never anything like that in my life. But her and I, we partied, we worked, we drank, we gambled together for 10 years. The best 10 years of my life. Anyway, that's my story about Mary and I, but she will come up. She is a major figure in a future chapter or two. Thank you. Next up, this boy didn't go quietly.